Yesterday morning, Friday morning, I got a phone call from Lieutenant of the Pima County Sheriff Department, and he informed me that one of his personnel is diagnosed as a throat cancer. Now, his throat cancer, the cancerous thing is going down to his lymph node and spreading to his lung and liver. It was very disturbing, so he asked me to give him a call, see how he's doing, and because he just had surgery. And I called him. I found out that he is a believer in Christ Jesus. So that was such a comfort, and we had a nice conversation. And I pray with him that God willing, God will heal him from this cancer. Yet we ask for his will be done. He told me that he didn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior all this time until 4 years ago. He received Jesus into his heart. And he's fired up for God. And he wants to live for God. And he got this terrible news. He told me, I'm going to give you another story. Some of you heard this story. Pastor Greg Laurie of the Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, he has a son, Christopher Laurie. He had a car accident in one of the California highways and got killed instantly. Greg Laurie's son, Christopher Laurie, was a kind of backslider. He's been walked away from God. And he lived like that as a prodigal son, and he came back to the Lord a couple of years ago. Again, he was a fighter for God and is living for the Lord and is married and just have a child. And you have to wonder, how that happened? And this little one, by the way, wife is pregnant, and the little girl is wondering why her daddy is not coming back home anymore. It's a general tendency for people who are going through the tough time blame God. And they ask God these questions. If you are sovereign God, why did you let this kind of thing happen? Many people ask this very question when the 9/11 happened in 2001. As a matter of fact, Brian Gumbel asked this question on that morning to one of the Billy Graham's daughter. Where was God when this thing happened? Billy Graham's daughter, without blinking her eyes, she said, same place when human hung the Son of God on the cross. And then people would ask in a simplified question, why God? It's one thing to accept the consequences of a wrong action as some sort of poetic justice. But it's hard to take when you are doing everything right in the sight of God, and all of a sudden you are the one who is getting the wrong end of the gesture or horrible situation. And even the mature Christian can have this question in their heart. Why God? The difference between believers and the non-believers and unbelievers is believers know that God caused all things and work together for good to those who love Him, those who are called according to His will or His purpose. Unbelievers does not have that kind of hope. They don't know, and they're just grasping for anything to get out of the situation. Do you know, human is the only being that when they are lost, they are the one who is just running without no direction? Let's start at the verse 28 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, as we sing, what amazing love you have for us. Because of that amazing love, you sent your only begotten Son for us to die for our sin. That we may be righteous, we may be holy in your sight. we are most grateful. And in the midst of the difficulties and the sufferings of our lives, you still orchestrate the whole things that we may have hope and purpose in you. Lord, we lift up our president. Seems like it's open season to our president. Everybody's taking a pot shot at him. They only remember bad things, like we only remember bad things happening in our lives. So we ask you to protect him, give him wisdom, and courage to do what is right in your sight. We also lift up this coming election. We're asking your will be done. You're willing you stop evil. You're willing that let the righteous people be in the office. We also pray for our troops around the world and for their safeties. And we also lift up the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters and all the uniformed personnel around our communities. We're asking you to watch over them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you put up the Romans 8:28 in the New American Standard Bible Version? The verse I quoted for you? There. The reason why I suggest that we should memorize Romans 8:28 with the God cause is here. As a matter of fact, King James and New King James somehow did not put the word God cause. Other versions has these two words. These two words is they are very, very important word. We know that's number one, God causes. And number three is everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose of them. Let's look at one at a time. First one is we know that. We know that the Greek word for the we know that is aion, and it means the known fact. In other words, starting with it's known fact that. That means it's not a wishful thinking. It's not a wishful thinking. Rather, it is something unshakable and confidence in, despite of our circumstance or the feeling. Seems like you may see the situation is this is incredibly bad and there's nothing I can do, but yet, as long as you have God, you have a hope in God. Apostle Paul wants to remind us to trust in God and his plan in the heart during the hard time. When it seems like he is 1,000 miles away and it seems like he's not listening to your prayer, yet he is there. We need to remember that. Don't go by the feeling. Don't go by the experience. Rather, go by what you know. He is in all events together. He worked together ultimately for our good. We know that he is in control. God never lost control, regardless of what we think or feel. Let's remember what we know of God through the history revealed and also the encounters we went through with him. With God, listen carefully, please. With God, no days is ever wasted. With God, there is no such a thing as a disappointment, because your disappointment is outside his appointment. No surprise to us ever catch him off guard. And he never get off course, he never forget the game plan, and never contradict his overall purpose for us. And never, never contradict his own word. Don't listen to anyone, somebody tell you, I have a special revelation for you, and it's contradicting the word, you just ignore that person's word. Whom you should believe, God's word or a person's word? It doesn't matter if that person is a televangelist or whatever that person is. You ignore that person if it is against the Word of God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, please. Philippians 1, 6. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians before Colossians. 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun, what? A good work in you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus will not stop until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's go to one more verse. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you guys have already memorized it. Good for you. Jeremiah 29:11. We memorized this verse a few weeks ago. By the way, if you memorize all the verses that I've been handing out, by now you should memorize 30 verses. Isn't that a good thing? Time to time, go back and renew it so you can keep it in your memory. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a memory verse. For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thought of peace, not of evil, to give you the future and the hope. And some of you may think that what I'm going through sounds like a good thing. Remember what we read in Romans 8:28. He will work all things together. Let me give you the story. A pastor was commuting, and traveling in a train going across the Hudson River. It was dinner time, so he decided to go have a dinner in the dining car. And so he went over, and you know how they have to you have to share the table with other people. And he happened to sit across the table with the atheist. He ordered his English New England codfish. As you know, he has a lot of bones. And he had the codfish and, you know, small chat, and he opened up his Bible, started to read. This atheist could not believe what he's saying. This man had the audacity to open the Bible in front of him, read that stupid Bible. So he got irritated. He said, "You believe everything that in that book? They're like a creation garbage, and parting the Red Sea, and Jonah in the fish belly?" And pastor calmly answered him, "Why, yes, I believe everything." He got irritated all the more. So, then how are you going to explain all these verses that you cannot get the answer? Pastor smiled. He pointed to his codfish. He said, "It's like my codfish dinner. I eat fish. I leave the bones for the fool to choke on it." See, some people don't get it. They're so concerned about something they cannot understand. Remember what I told you. This Bible is a logical book. Very, very logical book. But there are portions you have to take with faith. And some people would say, "Well, how can you take that with a faith?" People who believe that way, they believe in evolution. And I like to ask them, have you ever seen dinosaurs? If you haven't seen dinosaurs, or you haven't seen this ice age 40 billion years ago, then you're believing that in faith. So what's the difference in your faith and my faith? How come my faith is your lunch? How come it's open season toward me? Evolution requires more faith than creation. I don't know everything about God's plan and the Bible. As a matter of fact, I know very little, tiny portion of that. But I do know our God is always faithful. And He's not only make a promise, but also He keeps the promise. He's not just a promise maker, but he is a promise keeper. Never once has he broken his promises. I wouldn't trade what I know about God for what I don't know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Even in the psalm, it says that there are things that are too loft for me to understand. I don't understand everything about car. I know where the tires are. I know where the batteries are. And something goes wrong with the tire, I can change the tires. That's about as far as it goes. However, I get in the car and turn that ignition with the key. Wow, voila, I can drive. That's far as I know. I don't have to know ins and out of it for me to drive a car. I don't have to know everything about this Bible to believe that God is real. He made himself real to me for time and time after time. Everybody has to live with the faith. You can depend on the things that can go away. Or you can depend on Almighty God will never change His word. He's the everlasting God, all-knowing God, and He's a promise-keeping God. Second thing I'd like to show you is that we know that God causes. God causes. Who controls everything? God does. And not us, not nature. And God orchestrates the history, and that it just comforts me. He did not leave the control in the man's hand. And those who are control freak like me would think, why not? We can handle it. We are smart people. Well, let me put it this way. Men are very destructive. We are destructive people. How do I know? Because we have around the world all the new, if you can total up the thermonuclear bombs, there are 60,000 of them. Many are missing. I don't know where they are. It's the 60,000 thermonuclear bombs. Do you know what kind of power it has? It can blow up the earth 17 times. That's what kind of destructive power man has. So should he leave the power control to the nature? Well, I don't think so. Because the nature is not much different. Let's go to Romans 9:21, please. Romans 9:21. We'll read the two different versions. As soon as I find it. Does not the potter have a power over clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor, another for dishonor? Do you have a bulletin? I purposely chose this design, this bulletin. God is the potter in Jeremiah. He is the one who is shaping and molding us. One for the special purpose and the other one for the different purpose. According to NIV, I didn't like the way the New King James one for dishonor. It sounds like a really bad thing. So when you look at a different version, does not the potter have a right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for the noble purpose and some for the common use? If you look at New Living Translation, it says for us to collect the garbage. Well, that's, I guess some people call that as dishonor. God has one for a special reason, the other one for the different reason. Here we go. Thank you. God is the potter. We are the clay, and the potter is in charge, and clay is an object in process. We are in object. We are object in process. We can take a comfort that God personally handles every situation as potter molds each pottery. Even when we suffer, he makes something useful of it. Being be encouraged, since God is in control, he will accomplish his purpose in our lives. Third thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is that we know that God caused everything, not the word everything, to work together. So what is the Apostle Paul is saying here? Everything? Or is it something, certain things, or most of things? Everything, all things, without an exception. With our logic, we say, I'm sure that there is an exception that he cannot use. For example, rape, adultery, how about child molestation? How about that Hurricane Gustav killed so many people? How about Hurricane Katrina? 1,800 people got killed. What do you make out of that? How can you make good things out of that? But God is faithful. Sin and natural disaster, we tend to see it as our enemies. But God often used to turn them to use them to turn us toward Him. God hates sins, but once it's committed, He uses it for Himself. And God hates death and pain. Bible says that God keep the tears of the saint in the bottle. He can use it to have a powerful and positive influence on people. Yes, God can and will and does use all things for His good. We may not see the good in the right away. We may not even see it in our lifetime. We may not be able to put together all the pieces of God's puzzle. Have you ever seen the tapestry in a rug? When you look at it from the back, it doesn't make any sense to me. That's where we're seeing this God's puzzle. The line going back and forth, you cannot make anything out of it. But God sees from the other side. The Bible says that God caused everything to work together. Then why is it for us to be concerned about God's providence? Here's the three reasons. Number one is selfishness. Before we go there, let me say this. If we really trust God, why are we so anxious to ask for God's will be done? We don't want God's will. To be honest with you, I pray for that man who has a throat cancer. My desire, his desire is God heal him with the miracle's power. He's done that to many other people. Why not God just heal him? But I learned, and I'm growing in the Lord for the last 20 years, if I depend on His will, it's always better than mine. So we have a tendency to think about our own gender, our own things before God's will. So we are selfish. When God allows difficulty in our past, like a financial trouble or a personal loss, our first response is, why me, Lord? Whenever we say that, it's like, this is not a good time for you to block my way or find somebody else. Don't bring it to me. Give it to somebody else, this disaster. That is a typical mentality. So that is number one reason. Number two is control. We cherish our lives and the dreams, and the thought of the relinquishing the control of our lives to God is fearful. Let's face it, we all like to control, don't we? We like everything in our terms, our ways. But letting it go and completely to this unknown God, to unseen God, and believing that He will work it out. That is, in a way, scary. The control issue. Third element of that is pride. God has given us, we say, free will. So I should be able to do whatever I want to do. And we are not perfect. There's connect with the strings to Him that He can control us all the time. Problem is, we don't know what is really good things for us. Because we don't see the future. We tend to see immediate future only. We think we see it, but we don't see it. It's a pride issue. It's humbling and a blow to our I can do it all, or I'm the captain of my own ship, or I'm the one who control my own fate, that attitude. Sheep without the good shepherd will lose their lives or will completely lost. Let me make it this way. Here's a sodium. Here's a chloride. Individually, they are harmful if you digest into your body. If it goes into your body. However, when those two things get together, sodium and chloride get together, it becomes sodium chloride. You know what that is? It's a table salt. I use it. I use it to enhance the taste of my food. Without salt, food is blah. Right? So you have to add the salt. The sodium itself and chlorine itself, they are two bad things, but when they're put together, they're good. What am I talking about? Here's a bad element with God's purpose. Together, it will be good for us. It works for us. Fourth element I'd like to bring it to you is that we know that God calls everything together for good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. Notice that this verse does not say that all things will feel good. Or it doesn't even say even seem good. But it doesn't even say that all things are good, period. It said it will, all things will work together for good. An important note is that this promise is limited to the children of God alone. If you are not a born-again Christian, this does not apply to you. This does not apply to you. You are utterly lost. You don't have a hope. You don't have a joy in your heart. Ultimately, we have to trust God, the love who loves us and want the best for us, who are called according to His purpose. He didn't save us and then He leave us fend for ourselves. Our redemption, our whole life, and fit into His eternal plan. Knowing that will keep us from the seeing hardship as random mess. But if we doubt His benevolence, doubt will creep into the every trouble we face and plaguing our spiritual lives. Folks, faith is antidote to doubt. While the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight, we should not walk by in blindness. And our faith is not blind. Our faith, it depends on God, who knows all things, who sees all things. We have a proof of Christ who lived in the flesh and died on the cross to redeem us while we are still living in the rebellion against God. We suffer more than we ever will, and He suffered more than we ever will, and He did it because He loved us. His purpose is good. And good for us as well as His glory. One more verse, please. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, When evening had come, Jesus said to them, that is the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Note the word, let us cross over to the other side. Note that it didn't say, you go cross over to the other side, or it didn't say, we might be able to cross to the other side. Here we find the interesting story that Jesus is inviting disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee, as you know, is known for the stormy weather. One moment is calm, next moment is stormy. I mean bad. Because warm current comes from the Mediterranean Sea and cold weather current comes from the Mount Hermon, and they collide on the top of the Sea of Galilee and it makes a twist. In a split second, they can have a storm. Now, did Jesus know that storm would be there? Yes. He knew there would be a storm. That was a part of the curriculum for that night's teaching. He wanted the disciples to trust him. And not only that, notice this. He said, let us. He didn't say, you go. He was in the midst of that storm. You follow me? When you're going through a storm, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He will not let you go through the storm alone. Again, I'm bringing back to you Psalm 23. I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Why? I will not fear evil. Because you are with me. According to Mark's gospel, that this wave was so strong that even the experienced fisherman was afraid. Often we are gripped by the fear and cease to think logically when we forget God's word for us. That's exactly what happened to the disciples, but Jesus was on board with them, and there he was. To see them through. Whatever you're going through, the difficulties and sufferings, Jesus is there to see you through. We'll make an application. Number one, while we face the storm of life, they are allowed by the God, our God, to transform us into the being more like Jesus. Remember it. Trials and tests is to shape us and mold us to be more like Jesus. Second application, it is Jesus' promise to us that He is with us all the time. He is with us all the time. Count on it. Hebrews 13:5, what does it say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does it mean? He is with us no matter what. Third application. Since everything is under God's control, don't say, good luck. Does luck exist? No. Well, same existence as the crystal ball telling the future. Does crystal ball tell the future? No. It's a demonic thing. So next time, when somebody's going to do something, don't say good luck. Since you believe that God is in control for everything, say, God bless you. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let us remember while we're going through the difficult time, all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to your purpose. And you also remember that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.